Our reading is taken from Genesis 1, and we start reading from verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and God's Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light and saw that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day.
I love how he reads. He reads like somebody should be on the radio, ne? It's like, yeah. I love it. Just want to check something. This is just for my personal research purposes. Those of you that buy something, you know, and you unbox it, whom of you read the manual that goes along with it? Two. Okay, that sounds about fair. Brad, do you as well? Okay, good stuff. I just wanted to find out that I'm normal. You know, I needed some kind of affirmation. Feeling very tender this morning because, I don't know, I actually, now that Michelle and Colin gets added to that list, the only person I know that ever reads an instruction manual is Abby, my oldest daughter. But that's just because she loves reading. She, you know those What to Expect books? Those thick ones for toddlers and babies and stuff, What to Expect. It's just like our Bible. When the girls were born, we chucked our Bibles and we just read that thing. Before she was 9, Abby had read that book. She just loves a manual. Now, I, on the other side, I don't really mind manuals. If they're there, they're there. But I only turn to a manual when there's a problem. And now what I'm finding for myself is even if I buy a power tool, I'll just leave the manual there somewhere on the kitchen table. Abby reads it, and then what happens is if I run into trouble, I just go like, "Abby," and she comes and sorts it out for me. You know, that's sort of. Or I phone Nuck. Nuck always knows. He knows. He's eaten the manuals of all those tools. You know, so it's part of him. So I just phone Nuck. How does this work? It's like the other day, the grinder. He showed me. I didn't know this. I used to take 2 pairs of pliers and try and get the blade of my grinder off. And one day, Nuck said to me, "But you do know there's this little button at the back that you press." I said to him, "No, I didn't." Now, see, those are the type of things that you learn when you read the manual. Then you see, because manuals are not just for solving problems. It tells you what your product is about. And then it helps you to get the most of the manual. So I actually brought the camera's manual, the one that we're using. This is its manual. And it comes with a whole list of languages. But I do have to confess, I haven't read it yet. I just asked the guy in the shop, "How do you switch it on? Okay, how do you focus?" And he showed me. And that was the end. That's all I needed to know. I don't need to know how to take a lovely photo. But this little manual here explains to you how to do this. Now, the interesting thing about this manual, it starts with getting started. Have you noticed? Now when they start you any manual, they give you where you're supposed to start. You know, so take out and don't put in the battery until you've done this and this and all the rest. I like I said, I don't read it. But if you look at the passage that Herman read, the first couple of verses, I know that there are guys that compare the Bible to a manual. It's difficult. You're going to battle to do that. It's not a clean comparison. It's not a good analogy. But if you do, the first 3 chapters of Genesis should be your getting started piece of the manual then. Because without those 3 chapters, the rest of the Bible just does not make sense. If you don't have those 3, because, you know, you'll start reading about Jesus, but okay, so why did Jesus have to come? You don't know unless you've read the first 3 chapters. Or what's the significance of a small tribe of slaves who lives in Egypt, very far removed from Cairo, But who's in Egypt? Why is that important? You don't know unless you've read the first three chapters. Now, the problem with those three chapters are, I don't think there's another passage in the Bible that is as hotly contested as those three chapters. I Googled in on Friday morning. I was supposed to be working. So I Googled in, typed into Google, was the earth created in 7 days? I got 538 million hits. Because what happens is you've got this battle around those three chapters where some people say, you know, you have to choose between fact or faith, or between science and religion. And it's to the best, both of these, both religion and science, are evolving perceptions of truth. You know, it's a growing thing. Up until a couple of years ago, we had something called the Flat Earth Society, based on the Bible. You know, we thought the earth was on pillars, and that pale blue dot thingy was a conspiracy theory from America. You know, they're trying to rule the world by messing with our brains, type thing. You know, but it was perceived to be true, or the earth being the center of the universe. Those things we knew it. This is the truth, and this battle has become nothing more than a mudslinging competition. You know, where science and faith, science and the church are slinging mud at one another and trying to discredit the other one, instead of trying to sort of just, okay, what do we have here? And when you take the Bible and you start off, it starts with these words, in the beginning, God. In the beginning. And I can't do it. You know, Herman does it with a deep voice. In the beginning, God. I can't do it. You know? Why don't you say that? Why don't you?
In the beginning.
Yeah, it sounds like radio. It sounds dramatic if he does it, you know. But but that's where the Bible starts. It starts with the thing that all of us know. Even if you're a church person, if you're not a church person, every single person on the face of the planet knows that there is a God, and I'm not it. I mean, you're not God. We've got this deep sense there's somebody bigger than us. And even the atheists, poster child Stephen Hawking, I don't know if you've read any of his books, but even the atheists laugh at themselves because the mental gymnastics and, quite frankly, the faith that you need to deny that God is, it's way above my pay grade. I mean to say, I'm not clever enough to come up with those arguments. But these guys have to acknowledge. They say, listen, yeah, we choose to say there's no God, but we do acknowledge that we make huge leaps to get there. That's where they are. But every person have got this thing, where they know, or at the very least, hope there is a God. And so the Bible starts with these words, in the beginning, God. And then it starts looking at creation. And it says that the creation was void, empty, and formless. But the Hebrew, I love the Hebrew. The Hebrew says the creation was confusing, dark, and empty. Confusing, dark, and empty. And God comes and he hovers above this. And then he speaks. And when he speaks, things happen. This amazing, amazing thing. God says, let there be light. And all of a sudden, there was light. We read about the first day, you know, just how God, he said, let there be light. And he divided it, called it day and night. And it was so. And it's this amazing thing where God speaks. He speaks into confusion, according to the Hebrew. And he starts this meticulous process of bringing order. He speaks into the darkness and he brings light. He speaks into the void, into the emptiness, and he begins to fill it with beauty and with goodness just by saying it. And it's this amazing process that you see where the Bible looks back and says, okay, well, if you want to get started, if you want to do life, just know this. First thing is, there's God. There's God. And then God speaks, and he brings clarity, beauty, goodness, order when he speaks. And for us, if you look at where we are currently, we had a braai last night. And if I had to take an executive summary of the wine, I wanted to say of the wine. I can neither confirm nor deny that wine was consumed at the braai without the secretary's approval. All I can say is a good time was had by all. The thing that was, if you had to take the conversation of last night, and you know how conversation goes. Sometimes it's funny, and then sometimes it gets deeper, and then it goes funny again, and then it goes deeper. You know, it sort of oscillates that way. It sort of moves. But the serious parts, if you had to put the executive summary on it, you would say the world we live in can be described as confusing, dark, and empty, if you like. And I, by the way, you nod your heads, except Taryn. Taryn goes like, not my world. I've got electricity. Eskom hasn't gotten to me yet. But the rest of us, they go like, yeah, the world is slightly confusing. You know, things that you thought were this way, it's no longer that way. It seems to be as though, you know, darkness seems to win, and there's this emptiness. People struggle with the whole idea of meaning and, you know, trying to make sense. And why are you up for this fight? You know, there's a lot of that going around. And so when you get to the getting start part of the Bible, then you see that God spoke into that kind of environment before. And we would hope that he would speak like that as well, that he would speak into our worlds, and that he would bring order into the confusion, and that he would bring light in the darkness, you know, and beauty and goodness in the emptiness. We would want that. But for us, if that makes sense, if you can track with me up until this point, it's an easy thing if we talk about creation. Think about this. God spoke the world into creation. Okay? Said, let there be light, and there was light. And we can go like, that's beautiful, you know. But when we bring it home, and we go to this place where, okay, so you're battling with confusion. You're struggling. You're feeling like a dinosaur, a little bit. Okay, so some of us are dinosaurs, but some of us feel like dinosaurs, you know. You can decide which category, which side of the fence you're on. But the thing is, so you see in this place of confusion, and now you look at this and you see how God brings order, how he speaks. Then you and I have got this thing where, okay, if he speaks, then surely my job is to listen, to hear. And when it comes to my situation, then it becomes difficult. Because we do live in a world where there are people who, brothers and sisters in the Lord, who sometimes got a different flavor of what they hear from God. And all the theories that are going around, like for instance, in 15 years from now, it's going to be the end and goodness knows what else. And 5G is the Antichrist after Prince Charles, you know, and all those things. And they say, but listen, we've heard this. We've heard this. This is what God is saying to us. Now, I don't know. I don't know about you, but when people begin to say that, I tend to go like, I don't think I'm spiritual enough or qualified enough to hear like you are hearing. Because when I listen, I very often hear this. Yeah. Birds tweeting, cars driving, but no profound, you know, revelation about what's coming tomorrow or how do I bring order to the chaos of my life, you know, that or the confusion. It's like this radio silence sometimes. And if I'm honest, most of the people that I know, actually, we put on our spiritual best, you know, and we try and, you know, look like we've got this thing sorted, but we just don't. And so what you find is people actually move a little bit away, and they go like, okay, you listen, I'm just going to keep my distance in this space and hope that God will speak. But now here's the interesting thing. When you go and you read the book of Hebrews, which is the perfect name for a coffee shop. Yes, yeah, Hebrews. I think there should be a coffee shop called Hebrews. But, you know, it just gives you visions. The slogan will be giving you visions of heaven, you know, that type of thing. But if you read Hebrews, it starts off and it says, in the old days, God used to speak through the prophets and through the fathers. But now he speaks through his Son. He speaks through his Son Jesus, through whom all things are created or were created and are maintained. And he goes on to say how Jesus purged us from sins and how we're part of this inheritance of God. And just to say, God's final word that he spoke up until this point is Jesus. In Jesus, God spoke. And he said, this is the word in Jesus that I created with and with which I maintain. Now you and I can wrap our heads and our hearts around that word if you think about it. Because unlike what seems to be the trend where people need to know, well, what's going to happen next week or in 15 years or, you know, what they refer to as the secret things of God, you know, where you sometimes go like, I'm not so sure where you get that. It might have been last night's pizza, you know. Unlike that, we know that Jesus came, that he died, and that he rose again. And that through Jesus, God spoke a word of forgiveness over you and me. That he spoke a word of acceptance over you and me. But the thing about that truth of that word is this. We might know it, but sometimes we forget that we need to choose to believe it. See, when you are like Sean, and you do everything right, or like Paul, you know, holy people, you know, you look the part, you do. Then it's easy to believe the word of forgiveness, or the word of that you know, God has purchased you, he's forgiven you, he's accepted you, because you think in one sense, well, yeah, no, look at me, I've got my stuff together. But it's when you are not on your best. It's when you've got to do those things that you hope and pray nobody else sees, you know. Or that thing that you would want to, oh, I would so love to change this thing. Lord, set me free from the spirit of chocolates or whatever it might be, you know. Whatever that thing, that you've got this bent in you, and there seems to be nothing that you can do to change that. When you're aware of those places, then, or in that phase of your life where you don't have your stuff together, do you know how hard it then is to believe that you were forgiven? That God actually accepts you, that he loves you, that he's well pleased with you? And that his final word about you was Jesus. Then it's hard. Then it's extremely, extremely hard. That is when you have to choose to trust God's word that he spoke over you. And in the time that we're living, if there's one thing that I want to challenge you to do today, is to choose to believe. Because right at the beginning, where things were more confusing, more dark, more empty than that they are now, God, through his Spirit, hovered over the earth, and he started speaking. Today, we see the effect of this beautiful creation. You sometimes sit on top of a mountain, or I'm not sure, those of you who don't camp, where you find that revelation. But you know when you sometimes sit outside, and you just overwhelmed by how beautiful creation is. We sit and we look at that, and then we look around us and we see, you know, how we mess things up and how broken things are and how dark things have become, how confusing things are. Then we need to choose to trust that God can speak again into that situation. that God's word in Jesus is, hey, you know your brokenness? You're forgiven. Hey, you know the confusion? Don't worry, I'll bring order. You know the darkness that you see? You know, you can call it darkness, corruption, you can call it whatever label you want to put. Don't worry, I'm going to bring light into it. You know the emptiness that you see around you? I will fill it with beauty and goodness. That is a choice that you and I need to make. It doesn't come upon you like a seizure. It's something that we have to choose. Very often, despite the evidence, despite what you can see, despite everything that goes on around you. Because if you go back to the beginning, to the getting started, there was no chance where the evidence presented of the confusion, of the darkness, of the void. The fact that God spoke, there was no evidence from the creation that it would change. And yet God's spoken word changed it. It was true back then, it's true today. That if you and I choose to believe God's final word in Jesus, that he can say to you, hey, you're forgiven. Hey, I'm going to bring order to the chaos. Hey, I know you think it's dark. I'm going to bring light. Hey, I know you think there's no meaning here. It's empty. Guess what? I'm going to bring beauty and goodness into that situation. And that is why the Spirit in us say yes and amen. Something in us cries out to say yes, yes, amen. I choose to believe that Jesus is God's final word for the time that we live in. So my challenge to you is this. When you walk out those doors, you're going to walk into all kinds of crazy. Huh? Yeah, it happens. There's a lot of crazy. Would you be a believer? Would you choose to believe that God spoke his final word through Jesus to you? And if you can choose to believe that, just know, when God speaks, worlds and people are changed. So that's God's promise. Hopefully the encouragement to you and me. So I want to pray for you now, seeing that I've got time left. We're actually trusting God for a lot of rain. That's why I've got a short sermon today. So hopefully during the week it's going to rain and the dams are going to fill up all the way to the Vaal Dam, you know. But if I talk nonsense like this, I use up all my time. But I would like to pray for you. And the thing that I want to pray for you is that God will give you and me the grace to choose to believe. Despite what you see, despite what you think, despite your past experiences, that you will today, here and now, say, I choose to trust you and to speak your word as I see it in Jesus into my life. Can I pray for that? Good. So let's pray. Father, you are so faithful. And the fact that you created everything and that you brought order and light and beauty and goodness into everything, it's something that blows our mind. And then we look around us and we see how it's as though over the years confusion and darkness and emptiness has crept back in to the point where a lot of us are actually feeling overwhelmed, feeling confused, and wondering when we're going to be able to see you move or do something again, because everywhere we turn, the evidence seems to point to the contrary. So my prayer for each one of us this morning, Jesus, help us to choose to believe you. That, Father, you spoke in Jesus the word of revelation, that you showed your heart through Jesus, that there's forgiveness, that there's order, that there is beauty and goodness and light in you. and that the situations, the challenges that we're facing, whether it's financial or whether it's relational or professional or even health-wise in our bodies, that your word is the thing that you've spoken through Jesus that we hang on to and that we trust. So, Father, give us the grace through your Spirit to believe and to keep on choosing to believe that you speak and that you spoke through Jesus. I pray for your blessing over everyone here, and I pray, Father, that they will experience how you bring order in the confusion, how you bring light in the darkness, and how you fill their lives with beauty and with goodness. And I ask all of this in the one who is your final word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.